Well, Sister Sherry approached me, I think it was a few weeks ago, and she asked me to bring the story of Brianna. And at the time, I'm like, okay, I can pray about that. We'll pray about it and see what the Lord says. Well, yesterday, as I was going over one of my messages for the revival coming up down North Carolina, I finished, and I was preparing to put everything away. And the Lord said, hey, why don't you sit down and write some thoughts? Because I got some. Okay. So I sat down, and we started writing out thoughts. And first and foremost, I want to thank God, first of all, for the time, that time in our life. It's truly helped us. And you have to pray for me. The thought tonight that we want to try to do our best to convey to you is about having a strong foundation. What do I mean when I say a strong foundation? It means having a good support system, having a good upbringing, being in the truth, having the Spirit of God to witness to you, having the peace of God comfort you, feeling the strength and grace of God to keep you through though at times it may seem and feel like you're about to faint and you're about to go weary. I thank God for this journey, looking back. Though rough at the time, I would not ask to have it removed. And because it's brought a lot of strength to our life. It's definitely enriched our lives by our going through it. So to be able to give you a full concept or context of everything that was happening, I have to go all the way back to May 2002. May 2002, Tanya and I were living in a one-bedroom apartment and had just signed on a brand new home, or the home that we live in now. We just signed on that home, and of course Tanya was carrying Bree. She was due to be born in September. I received my layoff notice at my employer on July the 14th, 2002. And you'll get why I'm telling you these things later, but that meant that I had 60 days left to work and whatever severance pay I had coming to me, which was 4 weeks of pay. So that meant my last day of work was September the 20th, 2002. And then you add on 4 weeks of pay, that took me through to the end of October. Okay? Brianna was born on September the 2nd. And I had lost my job, had a child, signed on to a house, and I lost my job, what you might say, 18 days later. You talk about a complete downer. Very frustrating time. That's where the providence and that strong foundation come into play. I had 4 weeks of severance pay that took me to the end of October. Then I was blessed with an awesome job working for the Department of Defense in Columbus. At the time, I was just a contractor. So I was on the contractor side of the house, but we were all on this fourth floor of this off-site location. You had the government people on one side, contractors that were supporting them on this side. And we never lost our house. God always provided. I will tell you, it's definitely got rough at times, but that foundation was there holding us together. So now that you've seen all the fun that we had already been through, Brianna was almost 3 months old when she came down sick. She started getting a little snotty, We didn't understand what was going on. She was producing a lot of mucus that we could not figure out what was going on. It was affecting her ability to be able to eat, and we just could not get it to stop. And I remember the night we went to the ER and get her looked at. But when we got there, we just could not find the strength or the peace about going in. And nothing against, you know, any kind of hospital or that, but sometimes, you know, they have, you know, wrongly diagnosed something that they weren't sure about. And we could have went home and just said, okay, yes, you know, we believe it could just be a cold and we'll just go for a few more days. Well, as you'll find later on in this little topic here, you'll find that this thing could take her life. And we got there and we said, you know what, we're just going to go back home. And I'm so thankful that we did, because when we got up the next morning, we went and had her looked at by our child care provider. He was pediatrician, yes. And as soon as he saw her, he said, you need to get her to Children's immediately. Did he tell us what was wrong with her? I don't think he did.
He said at the time he thought she may have pneumonia, but he wasn't sure.
Yeah. But he knew, had a pretty good idea what she had, but he didn't tell us. And when we got over there, he had already phoned ahead, told him that we were coming, and they were waiting on us. And doctor had already told him, which was all amazing. So a lot of things were going on. They needed to get samples, trying to figure out what was going on, find out what was attacking her little body. She wasn't able to eat. She had severe mucus problems. And then, of course, you know, they admitted her to the hospital. At this point, we're a complete wreck. Worried about our child as to what could be going on, and nobody seemed to be able to figure it out. And I'm going to tell you what, that hopeless feeling of being stuck in a situation that you have zero control over is not an easy thing to deal with. Plus the constant question of the doctors trying to make sure of what was going on. You know, they come in, probably ask this probably 50 times. Did you give her this? Did you give her this? Did you possibly give her this? They got to do their job. I get it. Okay? But it was just a lot of stress. A lot of things going on. And they had to put a feeding tube in. And then they seemingly had to hook up something to almost every limb of her body. And then it got worse. She was transferred down to the ICU. And it was at that point where big decisions were starting to be made as to whether or not to be putting a breathing tube in her or not. We would later find out that what Brianna had was what they call infant botulism. Brianna was case number 7 in Ohio. So if any of you don't know what infant botulism is, it's basically a form of food poisoning in adults for little kids. And what this toxin does when it gets into your body, it attaches itself to all of your receptors on your muscles, and it shuts off the signal from the brain. So basically, it renders you paralyzed. Brianna got to the point where you could probably see maybe just a little bit of crack in her eyes, but her eyes were mostly closed. She wasn't crying. She wasn't moving. She wasn't doing anything. And Brianna at this point was pretty much being shut off, being shut down by this toxin. Then the moment came when her body started turning gray. That was a dark time.
I could no longer be strong, and I broke. I couldn't handle it anymore. They did their best to get Brianna comfortable. They put towels under her. They rolled up towels and got her to where she was laying on her side. And then they'd have to come in and try to move her at times. They'd roll up towels and try to keep her comfortable. All Brianna had left that had not been shut off yet was her heartbeat, her gag reflex, and her lungs. That's it. And that's how they kept testing her. They'd come in and they'd gag her to make sure that she still had that. When her body turned gray, that was a real dark time. Brianna would go on to have many, many multiple tests. They're absolutely amazingly painful for us to go through as parents. She had a spinal tap. She had this thing where she had to go in, what do they call them, chambers where they put you in, all this loud banging going on, trying to figure out where in the world what's going on with her little body. Pretty much at this point, they were finally starting to figure out what she had. And that's like I told you, she was case number 7 in Ohio. This thing could take her life as it had already done other little kids. Pretty much they say that they stop breathing on the table. And that's it. It shuts them off. This could take her life, and however, once they figured out what it was, she stood a much better chance as long as she was supported with the absolute correct kind of care, but it would take some time. This was a very dark time. Then something happened. They were talking about this treatment. It was still in a testing stage, but what it was blood taken from adults that had this. Because us as adults, we can get this and it's like food poisoning. We get it for like a couple days and then it goes away. Well, what they did is they took the antibodies from people that had stuff that was almost like this, and they screened it down and turned it into what they called botulism immune globulin. This is the very bottle that they gave Bree. We still have it to this day. Now, that stuff at the time that we got it was $1,500. That stuff today is $50,000. They wanted us to talk it over amongst our family. Of course, Dad was there. I believe Stephanie was there. And they wanted to know how we were going to proceed. And this is where divine providence comes into play. Someone just shows up out of nowhere. Didn't know they were coming. Right when we were about ready to make a huge decision. In walks brother Roger Decker. Walking right around the corner. What a sight to see. Wow. Just in time for us to sit down and pray. Give us counsel. I'm going to tell you what, that was a relief. Comes in and had prayer with us, gave us the counsel that we needed, and we felt definitely impressed to go ahead and say yes, go ahead and give it to her. Brother Decker went down with us to the cafeteria, bought us lunch, he encouraged us, and I'm going to tell you what, that meant the world to me. Yeah. And on the other end of the spectrum, I just want to tell you, kids, tonight, God is not going to leave you hopeless. God's not going to leave you helpless, okay? He's going to allow you to go through some things, but he'll be right there with you. it may feel like things are just about completely helpless, like you're not going to be able to make it. Okay? But God is not going to leave you without help. This company that I went to work for, I had just got that job, and I had just started working there, and I'd only been there for what? Just a little under 2 months. They felt so strongly about what was going on, they afforded me paid leave to take and use as I needed fit, as I saw fit. That way, I wouldn't be without pay, so I could go to the hospital as much as possible. So for a little over 2 weeks, it was go to work, then the hospital, taking clothes to Tanya, seeing Bree, then back home late at night, washing clothes, getting back up the next morning, rinse and repeat. Tanya never left the hospital. I will tell you the long drives back and forth every day until the day that Brother Decker showed up were very dark days. I know that you kids in here, other than the fact of Mackenzie, Sister Natalie, don't have kids, so you probably wouldn't understand completely. But I will tell you what, driving back and forth to Columbus, thinking about having to pick out a small casket, is a very strong feeling. And many a day that we drove back and forth thinking about we're going to have to buy her a casket. She's going to die. That was the devil. We know that was the devil. But then we got some good news. They came in and it wasn't so great news at the first. But you know how a hospital is. They got to know how they're going to get paid. Do you got any insurance? No. Well, we did. But we later found out that where I worked at, where I got laid off, my insurance ran out on December the 31st, 2002. Brianna went in, I think, like the 28th. And because when Brianna went in, she went in before the coverage was stopped. They had to carry it on until she was released. And that's back when insurance was good. I didn't pay a dime. Not one penny.
Right.
That's the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
That's why I'm trying to tell you tonight, you can get anything from me tonight, just be encouraged. God has your back. If you do your best to live for God, you give God your life, He will take care of you. Okay?
Amen.
And I know that as young people, I was in your stage, and it's like I tell my Sunday school boys all the time. There is a strong pull from the world. But if you'll just hang steady with God, God will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Amen.
You gotta be faithful to God. The insurance with them ran out on December the 31st, but because Brianna went into the hospital before it ran out, the insurance stayed active until she was released. We also had people offer us food and money for all the driving and our company. I'd only been there under 2 months, like I said. These people loved us. And I guess I must have had some kind of a impression on my boss. And my mother-in-law also worked over there, and they loved her. So because they loved her, they loved me. And they took up all the money that they were going to use for funds for their Hollywood parties, and they donated to me and my wife. I believe it was close to $700 and some. Don't tell me that God doesn't take care of us.
Amen.
Then came the day that the stuff arrived. Little stuff right there. It took a little while to administer it. But what happened afterwards? To see a little lifeless body crack a smile about St. John Cloud 9. See a little child crack a smile. I don't know how well you can see this. But this is Bree. I don't know. Yeah. That's Bree there. And this one here is Bree when she could barely open her eyes. You guys can see it after service. Okay. She literally had tubes coming out about every limb of her body. So when you pick her up, all these alarms are just going crazy. But then that little lifeless body cracked a smile. And it was onward and upward from there. It pays to serve God, dear ones. I got this little devotional that I was reading the other day. It was talking about Job. Job 1 and 12, it says, where the Lord and Satan talking, he said, "All right, you may test him." The Lord said to Satan, "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence. In a perfect world, all would be sweetness and light, or so we fondly imagine. But our world is often ugly and dark. We dream and work to bring about our utopia, but it never comes. Bad things happen. And they happen continuously, relentlessly, and cruelly to bad people and also good people. Sometimes it seems they happen more to the good people than to bad people. Why? Job's world was sweetness and light. He had lots of money, a successful business, a great family, recognition, and a good reputation. And all of this, Job was a righteous and deeply religious man. The best of the best. Then came calamity upon calamity until he was left only with fresh graves, shattered barns, decimated herds, chronic illness, and a bitter wife. God's best had been dealt life's worst. But why? A skeptic would quickly answer, bad things happen because there is no God to keep them from happening. The skeptic thinks that he is in control, he has an unrefutable point. But surely if it be argued that the presence of bad things points to God's absence, it must be conceded that the presence of good things points to God's presence. Yes, the skeptic might reply, and what kind of God is he if he exists? If he is all good, why does he tolerate evil? If he is all powerful, why doesn't he stop it? This is the point we need to get right here. The story of Job points in another direction. God, our Creator, rules all things by his mighty power, and he is good. Satan, our accuser, is evil, and for reasons that we do not understand, God allows Satan to engage in evil functions, but under the tight divine control of God. Yet God makes everything, even when it's evil, serve his purpose, and he brings eternal good out of temporal evil. It may be a hard truth to embrace, a bitter pill to swallow, but ultimately God's ways are beyond our comprehension. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, there are secret things that belong to the Lord our God. And at some point, we have to humbly accept what God has told us and trust that he is doing what is right. Even though clouds and darkness surround him, we can trust that righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne, and there is no getting away from the fact that good can come out of evil. Bad situations. You look at the cross of Jesus Christ, it was a temporal evil, but what came from it was an eternal good. Right. Salvation of our souls.
Right.
Satan did his worst, but God did his best.
What gross evil and what glorious good. Best of all, God does not watch our pain unpassionately, but in Christ, He endured it Himself. The title of that little devotional was Bad Things Happen. Sometimes a trial seems hard to bear, but there is a purpose, young people. God allows us to go through things to strengthen us and make us better Christians. We need to do our best to trust God's plan. He has already proved Himself way too many times. This thing with my job, I don't know, most of you guys probably know that my job is coming after me right now. They want us to go out and get vaccinated. And I've already told them I'm not doing it. But little by little, I can see, you know, their armor starting to crack. They've given us an opportunity for religious exemption. Okay? It's also opened doors for me to be able to witness to people, too. So, somebody asked me, said, aren't you a little worried? I said, if I told you I was not anxious, I would be lying to you. But I will also tell you this. There is a great calm that rests on my spirit. Why? God's got it under control. God has helped me way too many times for me to doubt God now.
Right.
God will not fail us, young people. He will let us go through some things, but He's always right there beside us. We have an awesome and strong foundation here. You've got an awesome young people's group. You've got each other you can count on. You've got awesome young people's leaders that you can go to. You got people out in the church that you can go to. You can go to help. You've got a great place to come. You have a strong foundation. I hope and pray tonight, dear ones, this has been an encouragement. Yeah. Thank the Lord for everything He's done for us.
Amen. Very good.